Heavenly Father, we thank you for this that we have. The revelation, Father, given us to know Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. And this morning, Father, because of your love for us, to make this possible for us to be here gathered together in the wonderful name of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and our Lord and our Savior. Lord, we thank you, Father, that we can sit under your feet and to learn of you. So, Father, right now we commit the rest of the service to your hand, Father, in the breaking of the word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. All right. Let us look at this chart now. And like I said last Sunday, we are going to deal with this part with of the last event, the last few events here, before we go into the Daniel 70 week. Now, as you know, the Daniel 70 week has a lot of things that transpire with all the trumpets, the vial, and things like that. Alright? So, just notice the chart, and I think that you have a perception of all this timeline. Right? Because once we enter, once the bride gets up into the rapture, and the fullness of the Gentile comes in, the 70 week of Daniel will begin. And it begins with, you know, the Antichrist coming in, as well as the two witnesses beginning to preach. That is the image you all have. But we are going to concentrate on this part here today. We are concentrating on the last trump. Alright, the event, what develops in this part of the very last few grains of sand in the prophetic hourglass of God, as it trigger out to the last few grain of sand and the Gentile comes, what we call the fullness of the Gentile comes in. Okay? So this is what we are looking at. So you have roughly an image of what it looks like. We have the seven church age here, the recent church age, and then we have, of course, the messenger Brother Branham, who gave us the shout. And then we separate the tares from the wheat. Okay? And then after that, we have the voice of the archangels, in which now that the bride calls into the marriage. Okay, now I want to say this, that not many people in the end time message actually see this picture. There are still a lot of people that do not see this picture. They think that the marriage of the Lamb is up there in the heaven. Okay, and not here on earth. They have forgotten their oriental setting. That there is always the marriage of any person, any couple, they always take place in the bride's home. You understand? Then after that, they take the bride to the father's home, or that we call it the bringing home of the bride. You understand that? So that is what people understand. When you go over into the book of Revelation 20, when you say the hallelujah, the marriage of the Lamb is come, it refers to the grand final marriage feast in which the bride is taken away, has come home to the father's house. And the bridegroom will declare to the father his bride or his wife. Okay? So this is what we understand from the oriental setting, as the Bible is an oriental book. And so this is what we have, the voice. We are now in this particular period. And then once that the bride wife make herself ready, then will come the last trump, in which the bridegroom will give the revelation to the wife, the time that she will put on her fine linen, the most glorious wedding gifts, and take her home to the father's house. So then that means that this will be the resurrection of all the dead plus those living in Christ, alright, and caught up to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. Okay, so you know this. Alright, now we go into Revelation chapter 10. Go to the book of Revelation chapter 10. This is our chapter that we want to talk about, because we're talking about the last trump. Now, as I said, there is the book of Revelation is not a sequential book. It doesn't go in sequence as chapter 2 follows chapter 1, 3 follows chapter 2, and so on. Alright, so now we are placing the event according to the time. Now, when we look at Revelation chapter 20, when we talk about the last trump, we need to realize that chapter 20 is actually placed in the place called, or we have the seven seals. All right. So let's just read that. Not chapter 20, sorry. Chapter 10. I beg your pardon. Revelation chapter 10. We will read this all through once. And I saw another angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. Now the Bible says here earth in King James. Alright, but I'm not sure what other version will translate that into the word land. The word earth is wrong. It should be his foot in the right foot in the sea and his left foot upon the land. The earth is wrongly translated. Okay? Alright. Alright. And he cried with a loud voice as when he a lion roared. And when he had cried, seven thunder uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them note. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, or upon the land, lift up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that live forever and ever, who create heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seven angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophet. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stand upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went up unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in the mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey, but as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. Alright. Before we go into this chapter and deal with it, let us look into this chart here. Now, we are familiar with this chart. Let me just bring it bigger than... Now, all this chart I created in order for you to have an understanding, easier to understand. Okay? I call this the coming of Christ for his church on the marriage of the Lamb. Now, if you look on the left hand side, over here, now this is of course the glorious show that is heaven, of course, and we have the home of the bride, of the bridegroom. And from what we already learned, as according to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 51. Okay, let us go chapter 50. 1 Corinthians 50, not 51, there's no 51. Alright, 1 Corinthians chapter 50. And it says in 51, now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 51, sorry. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here, this is a passage we all know well enough to be known as the rapture. Okay? If you look at it carefully, it says that, I'll show you a mystery. It's a mystery, of course. And that's why Paul received this revelation of something that was not even written in the Old Testament. Only has touched and, you know, those that were translated and those that resurrected, like Moses, who died and was resurrected, was taken away by the Lord. And as to Elijah caught away in the chariot of fire, or Enoch, that was translated. So mixing is the Paul mentioned this. In a moment I'm talking about an eye. Of course, this is talking about the rapture. Do you understand now? But before they can ever come this rapture, which we know that as the Bible here says, it's called the last trump. Right? You read it over in the verse 52. In a moment I'm talking about an eye, at the last trump. So the subject today we're dealing with is the last trump. It's a trumpeting sound. Okay, the last trump. And it's only at the last trump, he said, the dead shall rise, incorruptible. Okay? And we shall be changed. The corruptible put on incorruption, and the mortality put on immortality. It's a right time we can say, oh, that way is the victory, and all that which we can proclaim here. So now, when we look at this, the last trump, before it comes, something must happen. People have taken this verse, as we all know, this passage, that any time Jesus Christ will come, any time we can just get disappeared into the heaven, to meet Christ in the air. We all know this teaching anyway, because it is basic, standard, denominational ideas. Okay? Just grabbing a verse. And that's why I said it's very dangerous. When you grab a verse, you get a picture, and then you give some kind of information and you read into it. Okay? But what we want to know, what I want to show you is that the three phases. Let us look into our 1 Thessalonians. And I believe it's 1 Thessalonians. I always get mixed up about with Thessalonians and Christ will descend from heaven with a shout, you know. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And here we have in verse 30. But I will not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning that which are asleep, that you sorrow not, neither as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus slept and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That which we wish are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall be ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with this word. Now, from here, this passage, if we take this passage together with 1 Corinthians 15, the passage that we read earlier, we know that there is something here. Here they are showing us three phases. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the last trump. Now I want you to notice very carefully. When you go to Matthew 28:19, you go to Matthew 28:19, where Jesus gave the commission. How did Jesus give that commission? He said, "Go ye therefore into the whole world and preach the gospel and so on, and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." It mentioned in this way, it's not baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Like people will take a person into water and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know? But the Bible here is not talking about baptism in the title of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. There is a manifestation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That means when he said like this, and of, and of, and of, is something different from just simply saying it straightforward. So the same thing we notice in 1 Thessalonians. The Lord Jesus shall descend from heaven with a shout. Then he said, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump. It means that the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and the trump. Because that got to be, I mean, when you see it, there is something that God wants us to know. In the water baptism formula or commandment that Jesus gave, is the manifestation, the name and manifestation of the Father. The name of that Father. Because the Father manifests himself, that name. Manifesting Christ, that name. Holy Spirit manifests that name. Because Jesus said, when the Comforter has come, he will not talk about himself, he talk about me. Is that right? Because that's what the Spirit witnessed. So now here we see the same thing. He talk about Christ will descend from heaven with a shout. That means that he must, if the Christ will descend from heaven with a shout, what kind of shout are we talking about? We don't know this until Brother Branham make that statement. He said, that shout is the message. And he leave it at this. Okay, and the other two, he didn't really say anything about it. Because why? It's just simple as enough. Some people think that Brother Branham knows everything, preach all things. There's a whole lot of baloney going on out there in the entire message camp. He said, let us say this. Look at Paul. God gave to Paul what he needs to know. Do you agree with that? Sure. You see, Paul cannot preach what he doesn't know. God, if God don't give him anything to preach, he doesn't have anything to preach. Is that right? Why didn't God show Paul all about the revelation that God showed John on the Isle of Patmos? Why not? Because, you know, Paul's ministry is just so much. That's it. The rest you give somebody else. God doesn't want to give the whole pie to one apostle. Because the head of the apostle will swell up. That's for sure. You see, every one of our heads, even the Bible says, to a measure of gifts. Measure of faith. Everyone has a different kind of gifts. You see. So God will have so much and he preached so much. God wants him to preach that and that's it. The rest, he'll do it later. You see. So, when we look at this, the Brother Branham said, the song is a message. Then, you know, when that statement came in, when I first heard the message and read about it, I knew that if this was a message by itself, a ministry, a man, a messenger, son of God, with a message to bring message, right? That means they said that those other two must be faces, a threefold mystery or ministry of God in dealing with the bride before it. Before the bride is taken home. Do you understand what I'm saying? If, like in the water baptism formula, if the Father is not a name, the Son cannot be a name, it's just a title, then if Father the name of the Father is Yah, the Son must be Yah, the Holy Spirit must be Yah. And when we all take on the name of God, we all are called also Yah. Little Yah. Little Messiah. You see? So, looking at this level, we realize, even as Brother Branham said about the coming of Christ is in threefolds. It's a threefold mystery. He said that. Now, I don't have to quote everything about exactly word for word that. He said, so if it's a threefold mystery, then you look at it here, you have three faces here. Assure, first of all, when we are not in the message, when we are out there, I know nothing about this. We were taught by denomination, tradition, hey, one of these days we're walking down the road, there'll be a shout, hey! Or something like that. Hi, teacher! Hi! Come on up! And there'll be a trumpet blown or something. You understand? That's what we were thinking. You know? But when Barabbas said, the shout here is the message, I got it. What is the message? Where was it shown in the Bible about this shout message? What do you find? Come on, what do you find? In Matthew 20? What do you find? Matthew 25! The time of James, do you remember? Right. That's where the shout is. The midnight cry. And if you look at the time of James, the parable of the time of James, it's not even a parable, rather than say, he rather said, that's what the kingdom of heaven likened unto, you see. It's literally fulfilling in our time. Right? And we see that there was this, there is this shout, because in the midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him. Where did the cry come from? Must be a messenger. You see, that is why we look at things with this passage, with that passage, we understand. Bottom the text, they say, the shock is the message. And yet today, when we look at the Tanguji, Bob and don't mention very much, but out there in the entire message, there are a lot of churches that say that the foolish virgin, they are the tares. I wonder how did they get that? The tares are tares, the foolish virgin are foolish virgins. The shout, what does it do? It calls out the people out of the church. Isn't that so? Right now, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And the virgin came out of the church. And the virgin will always be virgin, whether they are foolish or wise. They always remain virgin. If you are corn, you always corn. If you are wheat, you always wheat. If you are tares, you always tares. Tares cannot be wheat, and wheat cannot be tares. You must get this right. So how could, therefore, the foolish virgin be the tares? Or that they are the Pentecostal, or that they are the charismatic? Tell me, how could that be? Virgin means what? It means that they are not mixed with tradition of men. Charismaticism, Pentecostal, they're still with the mainstream. Right? That's enough. Of course, there are some intermediate churches that goes back to the mainstream and join them. So, but they wonder what? Wise virgins see the truth, saw the truth, enter into the marriage. The foolish ones don't have enough oil, they know they cannot make it to the marriage until they get the oil that they need. When you don't have the proper oil, you cannot fellowship in the marriage supper. And that's why we have lots of men message believers. Well, they teach these, they teach these. Some of them are still looking for the oil, but some of them probably don't care. They think that they have the right oil. And they think that they are in the marriage. They are not. When you have the marriage, there's only one person that you are married to. You are married to. I've seen on a lot of websites. What do I have? You go to a website. 80%, 90% of the content on the website is all about Brother Branham. How many of you know that? Go and look into it. Many of them. Always a whole lot of things about Brother Branham. His life, his, you know, where he goes and what he said. And oh, everything. Quotes and quotes, all within the context of Brother Branham. You know. So when you are married to someone, what are you so interested in the bridegroom's best man? Huh? Right? If any of you men is going to get married later, okay, and you find that the bride is interested in the best man, you have a problem. Watch out, wow. It's not like this, something is wrong. But you see, the best man, Brother Branham, brought us, you know, the steward, he is the steward of Christ, the bridegroom, and yet people are so interested about all about Brother Branham, Brother Branham, Brother Branham. You know, Eliezer brought Rebecca to Isaac. Now, Isaac and Rebecca went into the tent. Eliezer took his camel into the stable. The end of the story. No more mention about Eliezer. And all right, and I said this before, Rebecca went into the tent with Isaac and sat down looking at, where is Eliezer? And Eliezer said, yeah, Eliezer, and I think if Isaac is going to be a communist, slap on the face. You know, I'm the one marrying you! He's just my servant! I mean, today you try to tell that to people, they don't seem to realize that they are doing the same thing. Enough of Brother Branham! More of Jesus! Amen! A lot of people say, more of the man. You know what? Someone told me, I can't remember. You know, of all the messengers throughout all the seven church ages, the one who did the most good throughout the seven church ages, who is that? Paul's understanding. Okay? But after the church went, who and which one? Actually, it's the man that said that actually did a whole lot of good. Which one? Come on. Luther. You think about it. Luther faced the beast right in the face. Faced that system. Faced that the Antichrist. Is that right? Brother, did he face? He faced, you know, like Luther faced the beast system. Robert was only special because he was given a gift to draw attention. That's you know why there is always a voice behind the sign. Other people say, oh, we see this pillar of fire, we have this pillar of fire in the church and all these things. But where is there a voice behind the sign? The charismatic system they also have, huh? Pentecostal, they have the clinging sign, all that sign, whatever, phenomenal. But there must be a voice behind the sign. And that's why God gave Brother Branham that gift, manifested, people's attention was was drawn to it, then the voice comes and preached the one message. Come out from that system. Come out from that filthy Babylonian system. That harlot system. The fornicating spirit in the midst of all this mother and a daughter harlots. You see. So we need to realize and see the importance of what God is doing. But in our hour that we live in, people are looking at the sign. In Luther's day, there wasn't that much sign. I mean, he had some gifts. He prophesied. I know that he do miracles too. But the people wasn't looking at him. They were looking more towards the very truth. Yes, this is truth. But today, we have the full word, and yet people are just messed up. So now there is the shout, the voice, and the trump. Okay, the three faces. Now, looking at this picture here, we see that we have three faces. I want you to look at it carefully. We have the parousia, okay, the beginning of Christ coming to take the bride. But before he comes, he always sent forth a messenger. That's what we call it, the parousia. The parousia started, and there is this phase called the shout. Is that right? There must be a message sent first. And even in the Oriental way, especially the Chinese, I like that. I don't know about the... Oh yeah, I think the Malay, they do have it also, the Muslim here in Singapore. I don't know about other countries, whether it's Indonesia or whether they have the same. You know the Malay, when they come with the bride, they always boom, 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 drum and all that. The same thing like the Chinese. All the pipa and all that music, you know, coming forth, and then the bridegroom comes at the back. It's the same. You see. Of course, the American, the Caucasian don't know about this Bible being in Oriental. They don't have this understanding. And that's why it's a very sad thing. Okay, the Western idea is always thinking that they are better, but they don't even know the Bible is not Western. It's Oriental. Okay? So the parousia is, that is that the word of God must be sent forth, and that's why we have to shout. The bridegroom, behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And then we enter into the marriage supper. Okay? And you know that the wedding takes place after dark. After sunset. Huh? Because it's always cool in the evening. Now if the wedding is in the morning, then it's hot out there, you know. You understand? Of course it is summertime, it's hot, really hot. And the bride and the bridegroom will be sweating away, and the guests will be sweating away. You know, but comes evening time, when the usually, not in our country, we are Equatorial. But over in, let's say, like Beirut or in America or even Africa, in the northern part, you know, both the equator region in the temperate area, when the sun set, you can feel a sudden coolness coming down. And that's why they always have this wedding in the night, after the sun has set. Okay, so now when the sun, when the evening time, that's when we sing the song. Or in the evening time, as Book of Zechariah says, in the evening time there shall be light in the evening time. The light in the evening time is not the sunlight, it is the evening star. And the stars reflect the light of the sun, so it's not the full light. Now that's why I have been misunderstood by people who don't read my book carefully. Even like Brother Raymond Jackson, who came and said, I read the book several times and that's what you say. I said, no, it's not what I said. I said, you read it carefully. Nobody has had a problem understanding what I'm saying. You see, the evening light reflects the sunlight. The evening light is never the full sunlight. The sun is known as the day star. It comes out in the day. Evening light, the star, comes out in the night. And we are living in the last day. Remember, we're living in the last day, and the sun has already set. That's what the Bible says, at the evening time it shall be light. At evening time it shall be light, but it's a day that is neither day nor night. That means it is a clear day, it's a, you know, the unclear day. But there is a starlight that shines the way out of this gloomy situation. It's not the star, it's not Jesus. It's the evening time messenger with the message, with the torch light, with the light, with the firebrand, to show the way out of this darkness, semi-darkness. You understand what I'm saying? You see, only the light brought in. The light itself, the message itself, the message of brotherhood is not the full light. You all agree with me? It's only the beginning of lighting up the Word of God. And only light up when you get into the marriage. That's why here we have. In any time, as the guests were invited. Remember, I did. See here, it's at evening time. Okay? So the bridegroom is coming. The word was sent. In front of the bridegroom comes the message, the messenger. Gets the people out, and they enter into the marriage feast. Okay? And enter into the marriage feast. Then there will be around about midnight already. You know, 6 p.m., you know, they come, everything is prepared, you know. And then the wedding ceremony, the dancing and so forth, into the night, into midnight hour. Okay? And then, of course, the time when the brother enters into the nuptial chamber. And that is when we have the voice of the archangel. And the Bible says, I am my beloved, and his desire towards me. And his desire is towards me. Right? Now, when you are in the nuptial chamber, that is why you have the apocalypse. Here you have the parousia, the coming, with a message, a shout. Okay? Then you enter into the marriage feast. After the marriage feast, and the nuptial chamber is always together, the feasting and the nuptial chamber. Okay? The people are still out there dancing and drinking and eating, huh? While the bridegroom and the bride will go into the nuptial chamber. The guest is always out there eating. You understand that? So when we are in the, when the bride and the bridegroom is in the nuptial chamber, what is revealed inside there? My beloved is mine, and I'm his. And his banner over me is love. I'm my beloved. And his desire is towards me. And so forth and so forth. It's all this is called the apocalypse, means to say the revelation. Now that's what we feel when we get the revelation. Now, when you hear the message, you didn't know everything? No, you know nothing. You just heard the message. So you follow the message into what? Into the marriage. And the marriage is here in the Word of God. And when you enter into this Word with Christ in the chamber, that's why we get the song into thy chamber. The nuptial chamber. When you enter into the Word of the Lord, then the Word of God, the Lord Himself, Christ Himself, the Word, reveal Himself to you. Reveal about the Father's purpose. Reveal about His love towards us. That's why we begin to have Christ unfolding His own word to us. Here. Remember, the marriage is spiritual. It's not a literal marriage. Huh? It's a spiritual marriage. Do you understand? The word, the message that came to us is spiritual word. Huh? You didn't hear Brother Hank say, why? Shouting at you. It's a message to call, a spiritual word to call a spiritual people into the spiritual marriage. Here we have the marriage of eating the Word of God, and we are making love with Christ, right? He revealed Himself to us. The revelation. That's why we need to get into the Word of the Lord, not into the courts of Brother Branham. You understand that? Okay, once that is true, now that's the second phase. You get it? That's why, isn't it? When you look at the three phases, the coming, you give the shout. The Bible in Revelation 10, what did John saw in that vision? He says, I saw the angel, a mighty angel coming down, descending, coming down. Isn't it not the same what you read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16? And the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. Shall descend from heaven. And Revelation 10, what did John see? I saw many angels coming down. This is, here is that, the same thing over there. And when he comes down, that's why we have these three phases. Now, after we are in the marriage chamber, what happened? The Bible says the wife had made herself ready. Is that right? The marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen clean. What happened then? When you are made ready here, it will come to the last trump. Arise, my love, my fair one. Come away with me. Come away to my father's house. That is the last trump that we are looking for. Do you understand? And when is the last trump? Daybreak. Daybreak. Do you understand that? No, that's why, if anything makes sense, when the Lord revealed this, and then I preach about the coming of the Lord, I preach about the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then I preach about from glory to glory. Does it make sense? Look at a caterpillar that turned into a butterfly. The butterfly comes out early in the morning when the sun gets up. Right? Because he has to warm his wing, because it's moist when it came out of the, when it comes out of the cocoon. It's turn out his wing, dry it, and then start flapping. Take off. Take off! Free! No more earth bound. You see? And that's what we are. We are in this stage now, getting ready for the trump to come. And then, one early fire, early morning, when the star comes up, and the sun starts rising up. And that's when we're going to be changed, when the time comes. Okay? But before that change, some other event take place first. Of course, then once we have the rapture, now here's the word epiphania. The parousia, the apocalypse, the epiphania. The coming, the revelation, okay? And here is epiphania means the literal appearance of Christ. Then we go up into the marriage supper of the Lamb. You understand this? Okay, now, with this, we're going to follow the book, the chapter 10, and go through with it. Alright, now chapter 10 verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Again, the word angel, angelo, in Greek, it means messenger. It's always been translated as angel, but it means messenger. A messenger got heavenly type and earthly type. So here is another mighty angel. Mighty angel means big, powerful. Okay. And John said, I saw him coming down. Now as I said this, be careful when you look into scripture and as far as vision is concerned. Alright. The description is important. John did not see the angel. All of a sudden, saw an angel standing with his right foot in the sea and his left foot upon the land. No, he said that I saw a mighty angel coming down. And that's why in 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now, this is a vision. I want you to know it's a vision. It's not something literal. That John saw a big, huge angel. Okay? And the earth is very small. You understand that earth, you understand that? We know the size of the earth. But for him to put his right foot in the sea, not on the seashore, as I said before, I've seen picture drawn with an angel, angel on six feet tall angel, standing on the beach. The Bible said he didn't stay on the beach. He said he put his right foot in the sea and his left foot upon the land. It's a big angel. And what we know it is a vision when John saw this big angel coming down upon the earth. Now it's a vision, okay? So the angel is huge, huge. I don't know how many story high the angel must be as a vision showed to John. Do you understand that? Now, it says here, it says that he comes down from hell clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as a pillar of fire. All this description is easily understood. First of all, cloud. Well, you know, what does cloud do? Cloud actually is a sheet. In a hot day when you don't have clouds, you can see it's very hot. When the sky is cloudy, it keeps the sun behind, alright, and you don't feel it so hot. Now, but cloud is also in a symbol where always shows the presence of God. When Moses was on the mountain, there was a cloud. The pillar of cloud followed them. Is that right? Leads them. You see. But cloud also, in a sense, it will soften the glow, the brightness of the glory of the sun. Do you understand? So Jesus was clothed with cloud. Okay? And he says here, and the rainbow was upon his head. You know, rainbow represents a covenant. The first time the rainbow appeared, when was it? After the flood. And God made a covenant with Noah. that they will no longer destroy the flood, I mean the earth with the flood. Okay? God is a covenant maker. Now I want you to know this, and I disagree with Brother Ward Frank, who said that Revelation 10 does have nothing to do with the Gentiles, has nothing to do with the church. He has to deal only with Israel. Okay, why? Because he said that this is a covenant maker and covenant is with Israel. Let me tell you this. The covenant is never with Israel. God, when he make a covenant, he keep the covenant. Because the Bible says God is not a man that he should lie. And there are two immutable things that God does not lie. You understand? He make a promise, he vow, he keep it. When he swear, he swear, but nobody else by himself. Therefore, he cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. You understand? Because he make a covenant with anybody, with Abraham. If he make a covenant with Abraham, was Abraham a Jew? Because that was what he was saying, that he made covenant with Abraham because it was Israel's covenant. No. Noah was not even a Jew. Abraham was not even a Jew. Was Abraham a Jew? If anybody said Abraham was a Jew, you'd be ashamed of you. Huh? You understand? You got it? Right now, when did the Jews, when do you call a Jew a Jew? Was it in Isaac? No. Was it in Jacob? No. Jacob became Israel. Then after that, he had 12 children, 12 sons. Okay, then the nation was formed. Then they became a different people. Then later on, the word Jew came from the word Judah. You understand? But the name Jew was also incorporated to the rest of them. You see? So don't say that Abraham was a Jew. He was. Okay? So the covenant is not with the Jew, but with the promise that God made. You understand? When he made this covenant with Abraham, and through the descendant which was from Israel, yes, but God had a purpose. Give them the covenant, make a covenant with Abraham, through them that the oracle will come. But the oracle went to them, then God moved it to us. So, you can say that it's only with the Jew? No. You understand? Alright. And this coming of the mighty angel to the earth, and it's coming back to claim the earth. You understand that? Okay, so he came down. Alright, let's go on. His feet, his face as was the sun, the glory, his feet as pillar of fire. Fire represents what? Judgment. Purging. Correct? Look at it with the next verse. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, or on the land. Remember this? The Bible said the right foot going first, not the left foot on the land first. But he put his right foot first in the sea. That means he go for the Gentile. The sea always represents the Gentile. The land represents Israel. First he go to the Gentiles, to get a people. Then he goes to the Jew after that. Because he put his left foot upon the land. Right represents grace and mercy. Left represents judgment. And Israel will be judged. Throughout the tribulation, Jacob's trouble. That's what they will face. You understand that? Fire on the feet, pillar of fire represents purging, judgment, also as purging. Alright. And he cried with a loud voice as a lion roar, and when he cried, seven thunder uttered their voices. Now remember this, when he cried like a lion roar. Oh, okay, now interpretation comes and says, you see, he's crying like a lion means that he's come as a lion of the tribe of Judah. Come on, don't read that into the Bible. He's not coming as a lion of the tribe of Judah. And only when they say that, they want to make this chapter only for Israel. Not for what we see that Christ is coming down as a whole, okay, upon the earth. Down upon the earth to claim the earth. Now, he's actually coming to claim the whole earth. Mighty. The last chapter, this chapter of Revelation 10 is showing the final event of God's work in redeeming back the earth to himself. Now, here we read here, As you continue to read, let me discover about the book. Watch it carefully, huh? He called a loud voice as when a lion roars. When a lion roars, you know he's the king of the beast. Everybody think hush. Now that's why you get a silent. Are you following me? Now in the forest, in the jungle, are you going to have the monkey chatter chattering away? And everybody go away. Right? You got a gazelle and all this moon jumping on this. But when the lion roar, the whole jungle, everybody keep quiet. Hush, silent. Now, with this in mind, the scripture will give you something. As concerning the revelation of the seven seals, you and I know, and we talk about it last few weeks, that the seal book in the hand of the one that sat upon the throne, that was the lamb that has seven eyes and seven horns. They came out to take the scroll out of the hands of the one sitting on the throne. The Bible said he opened every one of them. Is that true? Did he not open the last of the seal, the seventh seal? And when the last one was opened, what did the Bible say? It says there was silence. Now, how is it? Was it silent? It means something have happened. Something quiet attention. When the lion roar in the jungle, everybody pay attention. Everybody, all the meat cats and all the badger and all that, everybody won't stop. They all look around, pay attention, what's coming. You know, you all notice that? Sure. If you watch Animal Kingdom on the television, the documentary, you know. They all behave very quiet, listening. When the lion roar, you better listen. And the Bible said when the seventh seal was open, it was silent. It means something tremendous is going to take place. And that's what we see here in Revelation 10. Right? Got it? Sure. You see? So now if the stump, now some people say the seventh seal, the seventh wand, it's not open yet. If it's not open yet, can the scroll be opened? No. The scroll is done with some seal. If you break out the sixth left one, you still cannot unfold it. You can't unfold it. So he said that the seventh one was open. Is that right? And that scroll is in the hand of this mighty angel. You cannot say it isn't. If it's not open, that book cannot be opened because the one, this mighty angel will hold in his left hand. Huh? A little book. Okay, we read. When he called a loud voice, when the lion roared, and when he cried, verse 2, sorry. And he had in his hand a little book open. Now, why does that scroll become little? You know, a scroll usually is about a meter long. Approximately a meter long. Usually, huh? All this text, all this a meter long. Now, here it became, the Bible here said in his hand, a little book. Now, it's a meter long, but this string is just so small. You know, a scroll. And he lit it up, opens, little book opened, unfolded, to show everybody that I am now coming to claim this earth. Claim what's belonged to me. Remember, it's the title deed. Remember, I told you that seal book is the title deed to this earth. Adam was forbidden it, right? He went back to the rightful owner. And that is Creator himself. Now then somebody must pay the price to take it and redeem the earth. And the only one who did that was the Lamb of God. So he was now in his hand. He came down to want to claim. First he got to the jump down his right foot in the sea and the left foot then on the land. You see, and the Bible said when he came down, he roared like a lion roared. When he roared, what do you think the lion is saying in the jungle? What do you think Christ is saying right here? What is being uttered here? What is being proclaimed here, we will say? That when he made that cry, the Bible said, seven thunder uttered their voices. Hey, seven thunder uttered their voices. Okay, look at this. And when the seventh thunder had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seventh thunder uttered, and write them not. Ah, there must be something here. The mighty angel came down. Then when he cried out loud voice, seventh thunder uttered, whatever they are saying, John heard. Remember? John was on the outer atmosphere when the vision was opened to him. And as one of them said this, he said, when the seventh thunder uttered, they did not utter it in heaven. They uttered it on earth. Hey, if you know, he just picked the one statement. I think he only made one time. If you bypass it, you miss it. Because this seventh thunder don't come from heaven. It comes from the earth. And there are seven of them. And they utter, they speak, utter their voices. And only two creatures, I said this before, can utter the voice, utter voices. An angel and man. Some people will say, oh, the donkey also can talk. Sure, an angel, the donkey can talk, the parrot also can talk. They can mimic, those that they can talk, they can mimic. And I already told you that if you have a parrot at home, they say good morning to you every morning, they will say, he will also say good morning to you in the night. In the middle of the night, you get up to go and make a cup of chocolate, and he will say good morning. And when you're dead tired, you're sleeping, you feel very irritated. So don't say that the animal can talk. The only animal that can talk is already gone. Huh? And that's the shepherd. You see? So when we look at it, we realize, if the Bible says seven thunder uttered their voices, we need to separate the thunders and the voices. The thunder is one thing, the voice says is another. Am I not right? Yes or no? Sure. Men utter their voices. Men are men. Voices are voices, which are made by the man. So common sense will tell you that the thunders here are nothing to do with the seventh seal. Oh, but what can you hope? The prophet said so, the prophet said so, the prophet said so. Yeah, I know the prophet said so. The prophet can say anything. You need to take it to the Word. Of course, I'd like to make Brother Brown the absolute, the perfect one. Everything is perfect, no mistake, nothing. Even order, the must be kept in its place. Then I think what we have. We have a Catholic. You have formed yourself and given yourself a Catholic religion. Is that right? What is that? Someone's phone? A band for life. Okay. Now, do you understand that? Okay? Now, in the Bible here, in the book of Revelation, I want you to let you know. When you first read chapter 1, what do you notice? The greetings. It came from the Father. It came from Jesus. It came from the seven spirits. They are before the throne. There are three greetings. Okay? Yes or no? Right. So, then we have these seven spirits. They have seven functions. Can you name them? Can you name them all? They are all seven. The seven stars, yes, because seven candlesticks, two. What else? Seven seals.
Seven
vestiges. No, talking about the book of Revelation. Seven trumpet, seven bow, seven, what else? Seven thunders. Huh? Okay, so when we look at the order, they're all a set of seven. Seven doing seven. So the order are different. The bows are bow, trumpet are trumpet, seals are sealed, thunders are thunder. Don't mix them up. You cannot say the seals are the thunder, thunders are the seal. Come on. You only got to say the riddle. Is it right? If I have five fingers, and I have five toes. You cannot say my fingers are my toes, and my toes are my fingers. Right?
Now you look at the orangutan, orangutan, orangutan. But when they stand up, they can stand up like this. Right? But you ask them to run, they cannot run like this. They run like this. So what happened to their arm? Became like a paw. Alright, they need to support the paw to run. Yes or not? So what do you call that? So you want to say that the digits on their forepaws are the same as those on their foot? But yet, in their way that God created them, yeah, their foot, they can even grab a banana with their foot. Right? But we can't, huh? Right? Try to do that. So, the Bible says all those seven sevens are all different. So don't say equate this or that. They are not. Okay? So it's only when after the seven seals were opened, and let me ask you now, is the seven seal revealed? Now think about it. First seal opened in the days of John on the Isle of Patmos. Right? All seven of them were opened in the days of John the Apostle. But they only opened. But the revelation of those seven seals came in 69. And Brother Lamb began to bring it out as the angel came with them. So is the seventh seal revealed? Is the seventh seal revealed? What was revealed to Brother Lamb about the seventh seal? If you say it's not revealed, something is wrong. It's revealed. What was revealed to him? Brother Lamb said, it's just a known tongue coming out. And I couldn't make out what it means. It's just a known tongue. That is what was hidden. Those were the words that the seventh thunder uttered. They were sealed. They were not written in the Bible. They were never written. Now, you get a lot of quotes from people who say, yeah, it's not written, but it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible? Tell me what is it. If it's in the Bible, tell me, oh, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. Come on. Don't simply take a grammar's word and then try to explain and twist it. The Bible said it's not written means it's not written. That's why I was shown to Brother Branham as unknown tongue, because they were spoken by the thunders in the days of John, and John heard it, but he was not allowed to write it. And so when it was coming out, it's still a mystery. Now let's say if there were seven thunders, seven men would come and speak unknown tongue to you. It's still be unknown to you, right? Because you don't know the language. You don't understand. You see. And what did the Bible, what did the prophet say? He said, those seven thunder uttered, we need to get them. Right? You need to know what they say because it gives you rapture in faith. But when is it going to be? The thing is, when is it going to be? Right? So now, thunders have to be men. It cannot be anything else. Now, there's a lot of split in this. Okay? But more people are beginning to be aware that the seventh thunder cannot be the seventh seal when it's open. Boom! The seal open up, there's a thunder, boom! Comes out. This is what it is. That's the thunder, because there's not even an object. That's just a sound. Oh, but Brahman uttered it. Brahman uttered it. It's a revelation given. But this is not written, so how can say the Brahman teach it? Brahman reveal it? You can't. If you are just messing yourself up. You see. And what Brahman said, he said that seventh thunder will give us rapturing faith. Correct? And I said this, when you receive a faith, and you really receive it, it won't take long for you to see the manifestation. Right? When I resist saving faith, you take how many years to become a Christian? To be born again? No. How many years does it take you to become born again when you are saving faith? There and there. Is that right? The same thing with healing faith. If you get the revelation there and there, you'll be healed. It won't take you years. Now if the seventh thunder has been revealed back in 63 or 65, for that matter, how many years is it now? How many years is it now? Huh? And we are still here. How can a believer stay here? The rapture, it takes so long to work? My oh my.
The day you see it, the day you get it. Revelation is just like that. You know what rapturing faith is?
It's revelation. A rapturing revelation.
When you receive a revelation, then you get it. This gets it already. You have it. You understand.
Oh yes, I'm a sinner. I just realized I got rapturing, a saving thing. I'm a sinner that I need a savior. I repent of my sin.
And the Spirit came in. You are my child.
And I'm saved. Or do you still walk around?
I don't know where I'm saved. That's a problem.
You need to understand. Okay, let's continue now. And the angel which I saw set upon the sea and upon the land lift up his hand to heaven and swear by him that lived forever and ever, who created heaven and the thing therein are, and the earth and the thing therein are, and the sea and the thing which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Now that should be time no longer should be should be translated in a better way. Time should no longer delay. Time should no longer delay. That's why it should be a proper term. Okay? But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he began to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophet. Now, there's one word here I want you to take notice. Begin to sound. You see, when the mighty angel came down and cried a loud voice, he came down to take redemption over, to redeem back the earth. But it's not going to utter their voices. It was supposed to be written down, but God told John not write it. Now, that means they put everything on hold. God is showing that there is a time that he's still doing some work. But now he shows that angel, mighty angel, wow. He won't be happy if you want to redeem something and you have been told to wait. Is that right? But here you have an interjection. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin to sound. The word begin to sound is from the Greek word melo. The melo is an interesting word because it means to say that there is an urgency, an expectation. It is necessary that there must be this something. You understand? There is an urgency. But when he began to sound, quick, do it. There is an urgent expectation. But when he did it, what does he say? The mystery of God should be finished. That means that you were hastened. Okay? The fullness of the Gentile coming in. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the mystery of God is nothing to do with mystery of Christ. Christ, the mystery of God revealed, as it is being 50-60% of the people in the message believe that. We say that the mystery of God is finished because Rabbim declared who Jesus was. We already know who Jesus was before the Bible talked about the message. Right? Back in the days of Paul, they already know what the mystery of God, Christ was a mystery of God revealed. But this mystery of God has nothing to do with Christ being a mystery of God revealed to us. You understand or not? Yes. You see. So, this mystery of God is talking about what? You remember? The church age. The whole 2,000 year dispensation will come to a close. That is a mystery of God where the Gentiles is grafted in. Where the Gentiles are grafted in into the original olive tree. That's why God planted the Jew and give the gospel to us so that we might be a part of the family of God. How many families of God are there? There's one. How many gospels are there? One. And don't tell me two. One for the Jew and one for the Gentile. No, they're the same. It's only the Jew who's always talking about the law. That's about it. You understand? People all get messed up and come up with all strange, interpretation and adding to the Bible. And make a mess of all this. Okay? Now, let's continue here. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go, and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stand upon the sea, upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said, give me the little book. And he said to me, take it, eat it up, and it shall make the belly bitter, but it shall be in the mouth sweet as honey now. So, you know, the Lord from heaven spoke to John and said, okay, go to the angel's hand, you know, take the little book out from his hand and eat it. But when you eat it, it's going to be sweet in the mouth, it's going to be bitter in the belly. And so John did it. He took the book out and said, I don't know how he did it. Remember, it's just a vision. Okay? You all must need to remember it's a vision. So in what book is that? That book is just this book. That is what it's trying to show. The book of redemption, the book of life, everything is this book. It's only a different title, a different name. You can call this book a lot of anything. You know what this to me? This is my bread. Is that right? Is it not your bread? Sure. This is my bread. It's my meat, my roast beef, my so on steak. Whatever you want to call it, this is food to you. But the Bible called the living word, the living bread, the book of life, book of redemption. So your name needs to be here. Basically, that is all that is to it. Simple word. Right? So John, thinking, who is John represent? He represented, he's a beloved of Jesus Christ. Right? And we are the beloved of Christ. And we are the idiot. Remember this vision all fulfilled in the last day. Not in the days of Luther. Huh? Is that right? Not in the days of Luther. And the Bible said the first will be the last will be the first, we are the last. We are the end of the age. We are the youngest one. We are the runt. Okay? And we are eating. John, beloved, he's the youngest of the whole, of all the 12. So we are to eat this book. Of course, that's your way, you know, you don't read that, but when they come to the message, you see the revelation of it. When you eat of it, it's sweeter. But the word that goes into it, you know, it's kind of, it's bitter because you have to live the life. Right now, wow, so difficult to be a Christian. This thing cannot do, that thing cannot do. Huh. You know, you understand what I said? Kind of hard, isn't it? I cannot speak that word. You know how the word speaks? All the four letter word comes out. The F word, the S word, all kinds of words that is too crude to say, not nice to hear to the ear. Huh? Yes or no? Yeah, sure. Oh, I cannot go to the casino. You know what? I walked past the Toto the other day. When I went to Gimo there and collect my letter and I passed to Toto, I said, come back to take the bus. Then it was a weekday, so it was empty. You know, I look at the Toto, hey, maybe I should go in there and buy me some. You know? Wonderful, eh? Look around, I see nobody go in there and buy $5. I don't know how much anyway, I don't know. I never tried it before. Maybe I should. You know, is it a temptation? You go in there. You see, this is the lie. Why are the people in the world can do it? Why I can't do it? Because why? This is the life that is narrow. Narrow path. That leads to life. Why can't you go this way, that way, you go into the ditch. That's why this word needs to be there. Not only that, it separates us from Babylon. Right? Babylon is it's free from all. Yes, we want to leave that word which God gave us. Revelation. Truth. Grow maturely. Not like what charismaticism, Pentecostalism is doing. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it. And it was in my mouth, sweet as honey. As soon as I've eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said to me, thou must prophesy again before many people, and nations, and tongues, and kings. And John did. After when he did that, he released from prison, he went back to Ephesus and pastored for a few years before he passed away. You know. And that represented John, that we have at a lot of time where we will have to preach to many people. And the mystery of God, yes, we preach to king, yeah, preach to president, preach to whoever out there, God give us the chance to go minister the word. Okay? Now I want you to look at the chart again here quickly. Now here we have this chart. As the mighty angel came down, his voice like a lion roar. He was suddenly in heaven, obviously when the lion roared. And in his hand was a little book. Okay, open. Okay, the open book shows the seven seals are broken and revealed, but the seventh seal contains unknown tongue and the seventh tongue. It's unknown because they were spoken. Alright? When you speak with a tongue, right? Or you speak with a vocal cord. How my tongue feel like I pick up. I can't. You speak with a tongue. So it's got unknown tongue. Even though they speak, if it's not written on, you don't understand, you still got unknown tongue. Now, if it's on the left hand, obviously, because you always lift up your right hand, never your left hand. Huh? So the book is on the left hand. Now, as you see here, while the mighty angel came down with his right foot upon the sea, okay, and the right foot upon the land. Now, here, why, when he came down, we are living in the age of Laodicea, the Laodicean church age. Okay, 1906 started. The rest of this age is gone already. And then God, of course, gave us a messenger. When he descended, that's Perugia. Procession, coming down. Okay? Then in 56, around that year, 53, 54, 55, 56, and so on, Barabbas began to bring forth the message, the shout. Began to call out, "Come out, all my people!" Get it? Alright. And so we have a messenger, the messenger of prophet herald the coming. He pointed the coming of the Lord. Then in 63, okay, that's when the mighty angel comes to reveal this, to open the seventh seal, or to reveal to him the seventh seal. And the symbol became a little book open in his hand, showing that the mighty angel is making himself known prominently. Now, because as I said, the scroll is 1 meter long, if this became a small book, and the giant became big, I mean, the angel became bigger, it shows that this is no longer prominent. The prominent is him. This is the one that you take note. Amen. Alright. So now, in 63, when the seal was revealed, then not that long after that, Brother Branham indicted Christendom. Okay? As you can see. Then, after Brother Branham passed away, now as long as the bridegroom's messenger is around, okay? The bride and the bridegroom, the bride and the bridegroom, usually would not go into the chamber. Because when the messenger or steward has finished his job, he had to go. And the couple go into the marriage chamber. Because now they want to know each other intimately before they take the road to the father's house. So now you come into the chamber. This is the chamber, the Bible, the kupa, and the voice of the archangel or the voice of the mighty angel. From 66 onward, that's when the fivefold ministry start to work. Alright. So this is known as the marriage. Only after the friend of bridegroom has left can the bride and bridegroom enter into the marriage chamber, the kupa. Bridegroom now speaks with the voice of an archangel through the fivefold ministry to the bride. Bride must become wife and be made ready for the final ceremony to be conducted at the house of the groom's father. So you have the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, and teacher. Okay, so this is the chamber, the nuptial chamber, and the wife is making herself ready. And that's why we all need to make ourselves ready. Amen? Okay. Now, then we have, once the bride and make herself ready, then we have the last trump. And the seven thunder will utter their voices to the bride. I want to say the word rabbi, which is a very good word to use. The final rabbi, the final trumpeting sound. I like it because when you're going home, because you know when you're a soldier, you go on out there in the horses, it's a very ear-piercing sound. Make your adrenaline pumps up, fire, and you charge. But when everything is over, everybody's coming home, everybody's in the camp, then you hear the evening reveille, huh? The last call. Or in the morning, everybody could wake up to a fine, good day. That's the same thing, it's being bloomed. Okay, then that's what we are waiting for. Alright, there we'll go. Once you go up to the marriage, supper, okay, up there, then the Lord Jesus will go to the Jew and seal the 144,000 with the two olive trees, the two witnesses. Now, in a few more minutes, I'll close. What do we expect? In all this, we have the faces, the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet. The first one, the voice. Come out! Come on! Out! It's actually the better translation. Then we got to get in, right? So, come on in! As you will see in the Song of Solomon chapter 2. You know, Solomon talks about making love with his beloved. Come on into my garden, come on. Then what? Finally, the third phase. Come on, up. Come on, out, come on in, come on, up. The three phases. But in the last phase of what you are looking for right now, now we are in the chamber. Once we are midway, everything is over. Well, as I said, this once we are matured, this book is no longer needed. And Brother Graham said, no, listen to what Brother Graham said. Instead of going through a lot of quotes of Brother Graham and not understanding what the scriptures say, there are certain things that Brother Graham said that actually is the nugget of truth. Now, as far as concerning the seven seals, he said it will be known right about the time that Jesus appeared on earth again for his bride. Right? Okay? Then he said, nobody knows when he's coming. But there will be seven voices of his thunders that will reveal the great revelation at the time. Now, if the seventh seal, okay, have been revealed in the form of the seven voices of the thunders, because we know the seven thunders is under the seventh seal. Now, if the seven thunders have already uttered their voices, as they believe, as these people believe, okay, then we should have gone now, isn't it? We should have gone into the rapture, isn't it? We should know that he's already coming for us. We should go. But why are we not gone? Why are we still here? That's not why, if we talk about the thunders, the seventh thunder must be revealed at the time when he is revealing himself and for us to go. Come and pick us up. Not as far as the seals are concerned, revealing to us what is to be, because it's in 63 until now, and we are still here. Got it? So, when the seven thunders do come, we expect them to be seven men. And I said, it's not many people that accept that, but we know this. The seven thunders are thunders, they have to be men. What they uttered is not written in the Bible, is not known. But when they come and they speak that out, then we will receive the revelation. Three phases. Shout, a ministry, a messenger, a message, a voice. Right? Second phase, the voice of the archangel, a ministry. In the right, fivefold ministry, men. Not just one, but many. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Right? What do they utter? They utter the word of God. You know, right? So that the bride will be, the saint will be matured. Same. Ministry, ministry. Voices, voices. Men, men. The third phase, trump. Seven thunders. Ministry. Men. Voices. Right? The first minute, the first shout reveals something. To come out. To come out. The second one, to come in. And digest the word. The third one, you already finished digesting the word. Come out. So we have all these that tells us a face. If the show is a face, the other two is not face of the ministry, you come and tell me something else. And you find that it doesn't make sense. The Bible is consistent. 1, 2, 3, always there. Right? Justification, sanctification, Holy Ghost, baptism, the work of salvation, redemption. Father, Son, Holy Spirit is the right tree. What else can you show me? There are always in three that you will see. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The three patriarchs. Yes or no? Sure. You see? So the same thing when the ministry here, shout, voice, trump. They're all ministry that will start with the shout and end with the trump for the whole of the bride's perfection. The calling, the perfection, and the homecoming. And if you tell me that the seventh thunder are not seven men, that's up to you. What if there are no seven men? But again, I was asked this question. I said, if there are no seven men, fine. There's no seven men, then I'm wrong. I said, what if there are seven men? We missed them. If there are no seven men, as one preacher in America said, Ben Howard, he said, the seven thunder are thundering now to the fivefold ministry. The seven thunders are thundering through the fivefold ministry. What? Because the seven thunders are the seven spirits that are thundering now through the seven, through the fivefold ministry. Then why don't you say that the seven thunders are thundering through Brother Abraham's ministry? You cannot do that. It doesn't make sense. And if there's no seven thunders, they've already been uttered already as revelation coming forth out of the seal. Well, okay. No problem, right? If they go, we have to go. But if the shout is the message, the call for the bride, and the denomination missed it, are they in any better position than we will let the message and come out? Isn't that true? If the denomination says there is no such message, then we are okay. You are following me? If the denomination says they will go out, then we who have seen this light, we should go out. Because we receive this truth. When God moved, and you don't move, you go out. We who move, of course it must go out, right? But if God moved, we move with God. If we go out, you're not moving with it. How are you going to go up? If the seven thunder or seven men, they have to come and utter the voices. They will give us the final revelation of the change of the body. Yes. And look throughout Brother Abraham's teaching and his preaching. You get a little here and there and you understand. Brother Abraham, he was not sent to be a teacher. He was sent to be a messenger. With a message. Blast it out and go back. Blast it out and go back. Just like John the Baptist. That's not why the fivefold ministry must come. The apostle ministry has set everything in order. So they can see a picture the way you should see. And not be said, I don't know. You know, just like in darkness. You're somewhere in darkness, you don't know where you're going. So if we have the light, then you will lead us into the truth. And I'm waiting. I don't have to look for someone, man, all this thing. All I have to do is waiting. As I digest the Word of God, right, get myself intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And then when all this thing is ready, all the other prophecy will come into play. That's why I said, California cannot sing any other place in the timeline of God's prophetic word. It has to be right about the time when the seven thunders appear on the scene. Because why? God always tries to distract the world from what He's doing sometime. Let the world have all this trouble. And Christ will come to be intimate with His people and take them away. Ezekiel 38:29? So before. Maybe the next few years. Then the earthquake will come. Then the thunder will sound. The bride goes up,
the world will have entered into a peaceful time with the Antichrist. And then the blood of them will go for its very support of the Lamb. Right? Get her reward, go to the very support of the Lamb, and after 7 years, it comes back. And that's what we are waiting and looking at. And in the meantime, live the life of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace, O Lord. We praise you for your word of truth, your word of life. We know, Father, we just consider ourselves a real privileged people. Without your word, Father, we have no life. And with this revelation you've given us, we see more about the life of Jesus Christ in us. We see the very purpose of our being. Because we know that you have a plan and you have a purpose in our life. So Father, we thank you for your handiwork in each and every one of us. May then we all be watchful, Father, prayerful, and always supplicate ourselves, Father, unto you. Help us, Father, to remember the time now. We know that we are into the year 2012. It will soon be over. And we see the state of many countries in the world in turmoil, Father. Politically unrest, financially, O Lord, agitated. But we know when all these things come to pass, Father, you were told to look up for our redemption toward life. We thank you for all this that you have shown us, Father. May the heart always rejoice in your love and in your presence. Bless this day now, Father, in Jesus' name.